I don't know how it happened, but it's already the last hour of the show today. Been a lot of fun. It's not done yet. We got about 56 more minutes for us to have a good time here together. We've been talking a lot of quarterback stuff today. We got the dumbest thing in sports coming up next. We'll get into that at great length since I botched today's show. I got mixed up. Keith Bullock came in. I got my coffee delivered to my house instead of the studio today. I'm all out of sorts, so we'll get to the dumbest thing in sports later on in the show. 615-737-1045. Lines are off and popping, third day in a row. We just haven't had a line to spare, but if you want to keep trying to get in, we'd love to have you as a part of the conversation. I know that there's been a bunch of people who've been trying to get at us, and probably this is the case for all four shows. We are 5 days removed from this Titans game. And it's still all anybody can talk about. Because there's a lot, I mean, there's a lot of ripple effects, right? And it really starts with Ryan Tannehill. It starts at the quarterback position. Now, there's a lot of different ways that you can look at this. And we haven't even touched on the free agency part of this. We haven't talked about the players who could be out there for the Titans to potentially add their services. We haven't even talked about the players who they are in line to lose. This offseason, we will do that at great length tomorrow, in fact. Looking forward to having that conversation with you guys because I think there's a lot of parts and pieces that are going to be moving around. But the quarterback is where things start and end. Now, I've asked you how you would handle it. And from my standpoint, you know, we've gotten a lot of issues that people have brought up, and I've tried to give you a solution. Now, if you don't like the solution, there's not a lot that I can do to help you in the idea that Ryan Tannehill is going to be your quarterback next year and that you could draft a quarterback this year or you could wait to draft a quarterback next year when it makes a lot more sense to try and get in the quarterback, rookie quarterback market as opposed to this year where it's just a cliff-sized drop-off from Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis to what is there next. A lot of developmental stuff, and you are in win-now mode, indisputably. And it all comes back to how much higher can you make the ceiling? Michael Jordan said it best, the ceiling is the roof. Well, what is the ceiling? What is the roof for Ryan Tannehill? Where do they go? I'm looking at the situation for Tannehill and saying the interception, the third interception during the playoffs, Tannehill has been picked off. Excuse me, the first interception during the playoffs, it was the third time that Ryan Tannehill has been picked off on the opening offensive possession, including the playoffs. Drew Brees has done it three times. Aaron Rodgers has done it three times. They're the only quarterbacks to throw an interception on the first play of the first drive of a playoff game. They kicked you right in the groin right out the gate.
At least it's good company.
Elite.
Couple Hall of Famers in there.
Is Ryan Tannehill, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees? We discuss coming up next. Oof. But it's bad, right? We talked about it with Keith Bullock in the first hour. That first play just completely sets the tone for the game, and the tone was, ugh, oh my God. You're kidding me. You're kidding me. This is how it's going to start. Again with this. The one thing that they could not do, they didn't even wait until the second play. No, they did it to you on the first. What did I tell you? They have every opportunity to win this game, provided that they do not turn the ball over. And then what did it look like? It looked like Pittsburgh. It looked like New England. It looked like at home against the Houston Texans. It looked like one of these games where they were just going to shoot themselves in the face. And they did it. They didn't do it once. They did it three times. But the reality of the situation is you're bringing back largely the same team. Largely. I'm not saying completely, but largely the same team in 2022. So with that in mind, how would you upgrade the roster around the quarterback? Or are you firmly entrenched in the position, just get this dude out of here? Because it's a lot easier said than it is done. We've talked about Matt Ryan. We've talked about Aaron Rodgers. We've talked about Russell Wilson. None of these things right now are feasible. Even though Matt Ryan's dead cap hit is $17 million less than Ryan Tannehill's. Matt Ryan has a dead cap hit of 40.5 to Ryan Tannehill's 57.4. Oof. Matt Ryan making $10 million, or counts against the cap for $10 million more dollars than Ryan Tannehill does next year. I can't get over those Matt Ryan numbers. I don't know why I'm so stuck on that. It's ridiculous that Matt Ryan is going to count against the Falcons cap next year for 48.6. So it's not like you're the only team in this situation. The problem is you're back in this quarterback spot again. Do you have the one that's good enough? Cincinnati went through this for many, many years with Andy Dalton. They made the playoffs all the time. And Andy Dalton was never quite good enough to push them over the edge. The Dalton line, like, that's the median, right? At the peak of Dalton. Can you win a Super Bowl? Can you not win a Super Bowl? Dalton was that line. Now I feel like it's come to Tannehill at this point in his career, going to be 34 heading into 2022. Is the NFL quarterback line, if you're below it, you're bleeped. If you're above it, you're probably in good shape. Is Tannehill now the line for that when we talk about how good or how bad can your quarterback play be for you to still be in contention for a championship? And what he's shown us is that he's much closer to that line than we thought, or at least certainly than I thought. Dave is in Bowling Green, Kentucky, wants to chime in on this Wednesday. Hello, Dave.
Hey, brother. Just wanted to throw this out there. It sounds like a lot of people are against Tannehill moving forward. My thought is, what if you tried to move Tannehill for Deshaun Watson?
Wait. Let me stop you right there. Why, Dave? Why Watson? Before my head spins around completely.
Watson's got the talent. He's just
how many games did Watson win the last time he was on a football field? I'm sorry to cut you off.
I have no idea.
He won four. He won four games. Do you want the quarterback who won four games?
Honestly, I don't know who he had around him. You know, depends who he had around him. Coach and staff, there's a lot of things that go into it. So maybe if he had a different surrounding, he could have won a lot more games.
I appreciate the call, Dave. No. Just flatly no. That's the one I'm not willing to entertain. The Watson thing, man. And listen, again, I don't want Dave to think that I'm like pissed at him. I don't want Dave to not call us back because I was very, very dismissive. And normally I just try not to be that outright dismissive. But no, he has 22 civil suits for sexual assault and sexual misconduct hanging over his head.
Yeah, I feel like that should be your first argument. Not he won four games last year. We all know Deshaun Watson.
I thought that was obvious.
Right. We all know Deshaun Watson's one of the most, I mean, he's one of the most talented young quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think you're going about it the wrong way with your rebuttal.
Saying, I'm going about it the wrong way.
Well, he's going about it the wrong way. But I'm talking about in your rebuttal. Your rebuttal is how many games did he win? Like, no, that's not an indication of his talent. It's the fact that he has legal situations right now that have no end in sight.
I thought I didn't need to say it.
Well, no, apparently you do.
He is allegedly, okay, innocent until proven guilty, totally willing to play that game with you. There are 22 of these things. He is allegedly a sexual predator, and you want him to come play quarterback because your quarterback threw three interceptions. Respectfully, again, I'm not mad at Dave, not Dave specifically. I'm mad at what Dave's call represents, which is a fundamental disconnect between people who are looking at the quarterback position and saying, upgrade this thing immediately. We need more talent to win, which I do not dispute. I am not disputing that by any sense of the imagination. What I am disputing is that you would bring an alleged sexual predator onto your roster just for what? To get to the championship game. There's no guarantee Deshaun Watson gets you to the Super Bowl. Is it to just win the divisional round? That's what you're willing to get? Are we sinking that low? Now, and let me be completely transparent. I am not one of these people winning supersedes all. What just happened to the Chicago Blackhawks organization with the way that thing fell apart at the seams from the fact that during their championship runs, they straight up sacrificed winning over everything. When you've got a coach sexually assaulting players, now the Chicago situation is different, but there are some parallels there that are deeply, deeply problematic. So no, Deshaun Watson cannot be a feasible solution here. Not just because he wasn't able to do more. If the quarterback is that good, It should look like more than four wins. I'm sorry. It just has to. I don't care how bad Bill O'Brien mangled them on the way out the door. I don't care how good or bad Brandon Cooks or Laramie Tunsil or the fact that Bob traded away Jadeveon Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of pretzels or whatever it is. I care that he has 22 civil sexual assault suits pending, hanging over his head. And you know what the NFL did? The NFL said, we're not helping you here. We're not bailing you out with the commissioner's exempt list. That's it. That's something that I'm really interested in. Why the NFL didn't make a move there? Because their out was, we let the legal system decide. Since when? Since when, Raj? They really pushed the Texans into a bad spot there.
He was on the injury report every day.
Every week.
Every day of every week.
And every time. It made me laugh every time. Oh, Deshaun Watson's going to be a big loss for them this week. Every time I saw him on the injury report.
NIR, not injury related.
No. In fact, it's much, much worse than injury related. It's sexual assault related. Oh. I knew there was going to be one Watson call. It's going to make my head spin on its heels like an owl. When we come back, we're going to take more of these calls. If you have a Deshaun Watson call, perhaps we're just going to play this game where we try to piss me off. Again, Dave, I apologize to you. I'm not mad at you. I feel like Dave feels personally attacked. I want to be clear and obvious that I'm not mad at Dave. I'm mad at the idea.
Joke's on everyone. We've been doing the dumbest thing in sports this week all show.
Oh, God, it's so true. The dumbest thing in sports. That's next. Welcome back. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. I like this. What is this?
Mais Que Nada by Sergio Mendes.
Okay.
It's a Brazilian song.
More of this, please. A little Latin flavor here on the show. About 30 more minutes to go. Our lines have been loaded all day long. I've got Jason Erickson in the YouTube chat where you can watch us on Zone TV saying there's no way that the lines are still full. Have you guys watched Lucas today or the last 3 days? Lucas hasn't been able to talk into the microphone at all. He's been so pissed because every time we have 7 total lines that are available for people to call in. And I swear to God, every time I take a call or somebody drops because they've been on hold too long, like it is immediately filled back up. People are still rabid about this topic. And this is why I know that this loss hurt particularly bad, because people still want to talk about it 5 days after the fact. And listen, I wish we had more ways to get people involved, but we've got Zone TV if you can't get in on the phone lines. And we'll go back to the phones here in just a second. Now, normally when we do the dumbest thing in sports this week, we take your phone calls on it. But since the phone calls all want to talk about the Titans, Lucas and I, we're going to do the dumbest thing in sports really quick, just ours, and then we'll go back to the Titans conversation, because that's clearly and obviously what the most people want to talk about. Give me the music.
Let's be honest. You've already seen something this week that made you say,
what the f*** is this?
That's bullsh*t.
What the hell? Give me some more now.
Something so mind-numbingly idiotic that you just want to get it off your chest.
Dumber than a second coat of paint.
Some idiot.
You are really dumb. For real.
It's the dumbest thing in sports this week on the Buck Rising Show.
It sure is. We'll make it brief and then we'll go right back to the phones and talk Titans. The dumbest thing in sports this week, allow me to start the bidding. So, the Bills and the Chiefs, the game that I was told would be the real AFC championship game. And honestly, it really lived up to the hype. It was incredible to watch Mahomes and Josh Allen go back and forth and back and forth. But throughout the course of that game, there were many, many things that happened. Not just the insane point total that was put up between those two teams in the final 2 minutes, where it was like 25 points scored in the last 2 minutes of that football game.
205.
Outrageous.
NFL postseason record.
Unbelievable to watch. And as Keith Bullock put it earlier, just disgusting defense. Just atrocious defense. But my dumbest thing in sports this week is the Chiefs fan who stormed the field during the game on Sunday night at Arrowhead, who absolutely got taken. He got de-cleated by Stephon Diggs, who came up behind him and just straight up laid the wood. So this dude, his name is, I'll read the name for you. I'm reading TMZ right now. 20-year-old Jacob Bross was arrested from the game and escorted off the field for peace disturbance, which of course means running on the football field when you're not allowed. The crazy part was that dude got up after Stephon Diggs just leveled him. Absolutely leveled him. So God knows what was coursing through that dude's veins. But the thing about it is there's a video going around of right before, because he's sitting in the stands and he's on social media. A buddy of his is taking a video of Jacob Bross before he runs out on the field and goes, buddy, I'll give you $1,000, $1K, if you run out on the field right now. And this idiot does it. One, there's no guaranteeing that a fellow 20-year-old has $1,000 to give you unless you're just there on daddy and mommy's finances. It's not your own money if you're shelling out the $1,000 for. One, I don't trust the other 20-year-old to give me $1,000.
Maybe invested in NFTs.
Okay, very good. An NFT of the guy streaking out on the field. That you could do that. That's a thing that people will do. Somebody has probably coined that, and now somebody's rich off the NFT of Stephon Diggs just cracking a dude in the back.
Yep, already been done.
Yep, very good. We're behind the eight ball on the NFT. That and crypto. I'm scared of both of them. But this dude, not only is it dumb to accept a potential bet of $1,000 to run on a field during an NFL playoff game, but the fact that this idiot did not consider that how much are his legal fees going to cost of that $1,000? How much is he going to need to get bailed out of whatever drunk tank that they tossed him in for that $1,000? How much money, how much net gain is Jacob Bross, this, I almost said a bad word, Lucas, this person, this individual, this misguided person who ran out onto the football field, how much of that money is he actually seeing? Because I would venture a guess he's coming out in the negative. He's coming out in the red on this transaction. Dumbest thing in sports this week.
My dumbest thing in sports this week is one Quentin Spain. Many Titans fans remember Quentin Spain from his time here in Nashville, chugging beers with Taylor Lewan at Preds games, catfish. Fan favorite Titans legend, right?
Yeah.
He and his Bengals offensive line that allowed 11 sacks on Saturday, but really obviously only allowed 9 because of the late whistles on a delay of game and a timeout, took to Twitter after the game, first with an expletive-laced tirade directed at Jeffrey Simmons, which he later deleted, and then with this, which is still up. Y'all doing all that talking. How about y'all go ask at GrindSimmons94, Jeffrey Simmons' Twitter handle, what I said to him in his face during the game and after the game, and then come talk to me. If he a real one, he would tell y'all the truth. Great team win, and on to the next one. Great team win.
No,
you're really willing to throw that out there.
You don't get to say team win when you gave up 11 sacks.
Tied an NFL, should have broken an NFL postseason record, but officially tied an NFL postseason record. Buddy, you're lucky you've got Joe Cool out there at quarterback and Legatron Evan McPherson as your kicker. That's the only reason that you're going to be allowing 5 sacks to Chandler Jones in the AFC Championship game this weekend.
What an idiot Quentin Spain is. And listen, I liked Quentin Spain when he was here. I cannot speak to his level of intelligence other than to say his behavior on social media would appear. I will not call Quentin Spain an idiot. I will say that he is displaying the behavior of somebody who is an idiot. Quentin Spain out here loud on social media when all he did. I watched that game back several times, and I watched Simmons specifically. I watched Jeff pick up and throw offensive linemen for the Cincinnati Bengals physically off their feet, giant 300-pound men, as he has done all year long, and yet Quentin Spain has the balls to get on social media and say, if he's a real one, he'll tell you what I said to him in his face. And why were you in his face, Quentin Spain? Because he was physically picking you up and holding you like a child, like Simba in The Lion King, holding you up as the sacrificial offensive lineman. And only then and only then, were you able to get off whatever bleep talking you were doing in Jeffrey Simmons' face. What a coward.
I want to see this energy when Chris Jones, I think I said Chandler Jones earlier. It doesn't matter who's in front of the Bengals offensive line on Sunday. I want to see this energy when Chris Jones goes off on Sunday in the AFC Championship.
Those are the dumbest things in sports this week. Normally we'd take your calls on this, but the lines are loaded with Tannehill conversation, and so we will pivot now back to the Titans talk. That was good. That was therapeutic. We've had a long week, Lucas, you and I. I felt that was good to get off our chest. Very dumb. 615-737-1045. We got Jacob in Springfield, who's been waiting patiently, up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Jacob.
Yeah, it's Jacob. My friends call me Bradley. but my best friends, they call me Deer Toad. Now, listen, I got for you, Buck, the solution for the Tennessee Titans at quarterback and at offensive coordinator.
I can't wait
and
to hear it.
That is Sean Mannion. Get him. He can do both jobs. I'll hang up and listen. Go Balls, Rocky Top.
I think that sounded suspiciously like Zach Lyons from Football and Other F Words.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Mannion has been a plague in my life for many years now. Ever since pre-Arthur Smith, since after Matt LaFleur, the legend of Sean Mannion. I see you, Zach. I hear you. Don't think you can cover this up. Noted Alabama fan, Zach Ooh. Lyons of the Football and Other F Words. What, Jacob in Springfield? My friends call me Deer Toad. No.
The red flag, too, is just saying Rocky Top. Like, Tennessee fans don't just go around saying Rocky Top.
Hey, Rocky Top. Right, it sounds like
I love Peyton Manning.
That's what they say. Right. Only when they're in trouble, right, Bev?
Yeah, just Bev.
I love Peyton Manning.
That's right, Bev. Then he could have gotten it by us, but no. I'm on to you. Manuary will not take place. I will hear none of it. We go next to Roger and Dixon, who I'm sure has more sense. Hello, Roger.
Hello, Buck. I was wanting to say about the offensive coordinator. I think if you could get Drew Brees to be the offensive coordinator, he would do good because he's already been through that kind of situation that Ryan Tannehill's going through. And I think he would do good as an offensive coordinator, and we need to get rid of the one we got now.
Well, I appreciate the call, Roger. I don't think Drew Brees is leaving his NBC gig. Didn't Sean Payton say yesterday that they tried to get Drew Brees to come back and play for them this year?
Yeah, now maybe NBC's trying to get Sean Payton to go join up with Drew Brees.
No, the TV booth seems like a lot more comfortable. They tried to get Drew, and I know you're talking about coaching as opposed to playing, Roger. But Drew Brees, when he was asked if he wanted to come back and play this year by the Saints, he sent them a picture of a golf course because life's a lot easier for Drew Brees right now. And I don't think after years of going through this as a player that he wants to go back into, I mean, it's hell being a coach. It really is. And I understand that they're very well compensated, that people probably don't think these jobs are as hard as they actually are. But as serious as football people take them, It is an unholy suffering to be a coach in this league when you've got Mike Vrabel and his staff sleeping on air mattresses in the facility because they can't figure out how to beat the damn Cincinnati Bengals. Drew Brees doesn't want to live that life, respectfully. Johnny is in Chattanooga up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What you got?
Hey, yeah, I've just been listening to the Tannehill analysis, and I agree with you all. To the people that, you know, kind of want Russell Wilson and Rodgers are interested in exploring that avenue, you know, I'd say they haven't been to a Super Bowl themselves in a long time. You know, it's
Rodgers been like, to one.
Yes, they would be.
Rodgers been to one.
Yeah, and that was like 2010.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, and like 2014 since Russell. So I mean, like, would they be an upgrade? Sure. Is it going to be like worth the cost? I really don't think so. You know, especially because, like, I think probably our biggest need is we haven't had like a true field stretcher and also somebody that could serve as a legit threat at the you know, the punt game and kickoff return game. You know, and tight end, definitely. Offensive line, we need to start looking at the age there. So I mean, with all the needs that we still have, trying to move on from Tannehill at this point, I think would be a mistake.
Thanks for the call, Johnny. I appreciate it. I must admit, though, Johnny, and I do agree with your analysis that there are other places to look. Lucas, this may make your life 10 times more miserable, because once I say this into the microphone about what just came across my timeline, people are going to lose their minds here in Tennessee. This is from Ian Rappaport, all right? It's Titans adjacent. It's not Titans news, but it's Titans adjacent. Let me read this tweet for you. The Raiders recently conducted a pair of GM interviews. They spoke with Falcons national scout and former Titans general manager, Rustin Webster.
Who has?
The Raiders. They fired Mike Mayock, who's going to go back and do television. Rustin Webster is out here getting job interviews.
Wow.
in what world? That man, and I understand that it wasn't solely Rustin Webster's fault that the Titans went to hell under his watch, but he was a big part of that. The idea, now they're also apparently interviewing Steelers pro scouting coordinator Brandon Hunt, according to Tom Pelissero, but rap sheet with it first. They spoke with Falcons national scout and former Titans general manager Rustin Webster to get back in the game as a GM. That offends me. That offends me deeply as somebody who has seen how big a difference John Robinson has made since Rustin Webster. Did he draft like wasn't David Cobb or Bishop Sankey like the first running back drafted in that class the last year he was here?
Oh, lasted about 2 years.
Oh, my God. There are so many. DGB, like the list of just disaster draft picks. Now, Lawan and Mariota were both selected by Rustin Webster. I believe Avery Williamson was another. Like, there were some free agent signings that were made under Rustin. All well and good, but oh, my God. That cannot be allowed to happen again to another NFL organization. Oof. All right, we move on. Emily is in Murfreesboro. She wants to chime in. Hello, Emily.
Hey there, Buck. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Hey, I think I'm going to be the only person in the state with this opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tyler Lewan is a lot of the problem for Ryan Tannehill. Tyler Lewan spends a lot of his time in the tent or on the sidelines or in the locker room or at home on the couch, I guess. And when he's out there, he's a kitty cat. If I were Ryan Tannehill, I'd go to Vrabel and Robinson and say, one of us has got to go because this guy's going to get me killed.
I appreciate the call, Emily. Thank you. Listen, I don't think you're alone in that opinion. There's plenty of people who want Taylor Lewan out of here. Now, as I look at Lewan, and again, the availability is the biggest issue, right, Emily? To your point. Now, down the stretch, he did finish out the season. How strongly he finished the season, I think, is a matter of some debate, but overall, he graded out, and again, these are pro football focused metrics. I'm looking at pressures allowed. I'm looking at offensive snaps played. He played 846. They had over 1,300 offensive snaps this year. No, excuse me, over 1,100 snaps this year played on offense. And of those 1,100, Taylor Lewan played 846. So again, the vast majority, but not enough when you're supposed to be a stud first-round draft pick at the left tackle position, and he's just now 30. I'll say to you that his availability does create issues. Against the San Francisco 49ers, Todd Downing, one of the finer moments of Todd Downing's season, I thought they devised a protection plan well to kind of help Dylan Raidens because Raidens wasn't good enough. The problem here is, Emily, is that you don't have a better solution to Lewan. The finances are going to be interesting, and I know for a fact that internally it's very, very much being discussed as to what specifically to do with Taylor. It is not guaranteed that this man returns this year. In fact, he was very steadfast, Lucas. I believe we have that audio of Taylor Lewan being very steadfast in his opinion that he was returning to the Tennessee Titans this year, and I would tell Taylor in an honest moment, both publicly and privately, I think that his opinion on this is skewed by his own prism.
That's in question, I think. I think everyone knows. I will say this has been a year of adversity for me and not my best year by any means, but I think it's pretty obvious that that first year, unless you're Adrian Peterson, is tough coming back. You know, I didn't have a full offseason to train. I was really focusing on my knee and my conditioning wasn't as good, my strength wasn't as good, my power wasn't as good. There's a lot of things that weren't up to my standard. And then with knee comes other injuries like a back, and it's just how the anatomy works. And so I have no doubt that I'll be back next year, I think. And I'll be back to myself. I have no doubt about that.
All right, he brought up not just a knee, but a back. And honestly, I thought Taylor did himself a disservice in that moment because he's explaining all the reasons why he should be back. And I think in a perfect world, he should just ignore that question. And by the way, there's a whole podcast out. Taylor talked about this for an hour and a half on Bussin' with the Boys. So if you want to hear from Taylor, you can do that. He's got a podcast. I don't know how much of that, how much more detail he went in. I don't know how much of that gets edited out because they got to protect him from himself at times. What I'll say to you is the only issue that I have with that, Emily, is what do you do at left tackle? Because what I saw from Dylan Raidens, again, a limited sample size and not a full, within a rookie year, what they told you by the lack of availability by Dylan Raidens on days when he was often a healthy scratch is that he's not ready for any of these positions just yet, much less the most important position. Actually, most important position is probably the center. But the second most important position on an offensive line is that left tackle. And right now, until they have a better solution than Taylor, I don't know that Taylor should be the first on the chopping block. But it's being talked about. It's being talked about very, very much. Last call for phone calls coming up next. We'll get as many as we can in before the end of the show, and we'll do some polls. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. That's what it's felt like on the phone lines. Fuel, fire, blood, all of it. I don't know how we're doing. Today's the last day that we can do this, right? Respectfully, we got a call for Drew Brees for offensive coordinator and then a Sean Mannion.
We got to draw the line on the Drew Brees. The Mannion thing is a prank, but the Drew Brees thing, that's where the line is.
All right,
is.
So how would you have had me handle that call? Because I didn't want to, I didn't want to blow the guy out of the water, but like, that was a tough one to kind of look at and be like,
Let him down gently.
We try, right? I don't want people to not call us because I'm a jerk. But I do want people to be realistic again about this. I came in today. I said, we're going to have a very reasonable, sensible conversation. Then what happened? Sean Mannion. What are you going to do?
Joe Rexrow tweeted at us, said, that's so dumb. Brady would be way better.
You know what? Right to hell with Rexrow, too. Because I don't know if you read his column in The Athletic off that game where he's trying to put Ryan Tannehill and Andy Dalton's names together and Ryan Tannehill and Alex Smith's names together, and he's combining them into these mutated Ryandy Dalton-Hill.
No, it's not good.
No, it's not good. He texts me all the time every time I screw something, every time I write something he disagrees with. In the meantime, he's making these Frankenstein monster Ryan Tannehill, Andy Dalton things.
He combined Tannehill and Alex Smith's name in a big word jumble. Blaine and Mickey were talking about that too, the Alex Smith with Pat Mahomes behind him conversation.
I will not give Rex Road more life than he deserves.
I chuckled. I audibly chuckled when I read that.
Tom Brady would be way better. I hate him. Christian in Murfreesboro, save us, please. Hello, Christian.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well.
I think, I'm not saying Tannehill's the answer, but I don't think this draft class is the one for him. I think it's next year. I think we need to look at guys like Chris Olave, get another receiver up in there. And offensive line-wise, I think we need to look at free agency. But I'm not completely out on Tannehill. Everybody has their bad games. I know he's had more than most, but he's gotten us where we are in the past 3 years. We wouldn't have been there without him.
I don't disagree. Thanks for the call. Yeah, again, free agency, you got to be careful because your money is way, way up this season. It's got to be something that you have to really evaluate whether the price point is worth it. Last call for the day. I know there's been a lot of people that are waiting on hold. A lot of people have been trying to get through, but we go to Jacob in Gladeville up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, Buck, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. There's been a lot of people calling in about wanting to get rid of Tannehill and wanting to get in Rodgers, Russell Wilson, whoever. The fact of the matter is, he's not going anywhere. It costs too much money to get rid of.
Yep.
And people need to remember that the Titans were not this good not very long ago. I still remember the 1-2 win seasons, and we got to be grateful for what we've done in the past 3 years, making the playoffs every year. Then we got to take a long walk in the shoes of a Jets fan, Lions fan, Browns, Giants fan, and we just need to be more grateful and realize it could be much, much worse.
It could. It could certainly get worse. There'll be plenty of time to talk about it. V-Love said, and V-Love just tweeted us, I'm not afraid to walk away from sports talk completely until August. Oh, God. Give me the polls.
All right, Dan. I reckon I'll talk about a poll update. This is Carl Childers. There's a young feller. I think he's got the final numbers. Here's the producer of the Buck Rising show. A feller named Lucas Panzeker. Got any mustard and biscuits?
What should the Titans' first task be to accomplish this offseason? Lebowski says sell the team to Bon Jovi.
He's not doing anything but playing golf and hanging out with Belichick. Maybe he wants to own the Titans.
Charlie Burris in full burn-it-down mode. New OC, new QB. If that doesn't happen, new GM.
Charlie wanted Mike Vrabel fired all year long, and all Mike did was become coach of the year.
Mahogany with the serious answer says re-sign Landry and Ben Jones.
Yeah, that makes sense. Of course, we can't have too much of that.
What should the Titans' quarterback plan be for 2022? 71% say Tannehill and draft pick. 8% say Tannehill and Woodside. 21% say trade for Deshaun Watson. And I'm amazed at the people that didn't see the sarcasm in this text with the capital and lowercase letters like the SpongeBob meme.
Do you know how long that took me to type that out that way and people still didn't get the sarcasm? You cannot be surprised by that, Lucas. I've stopped being surprised by the amount of, lack of awareness.
But why would you even put Deshaun Watson on here?
Why? Because people want him. That's why.
What do you want to see Sean Payton doing next? 43% say broadcasting. 31% say coaching the Cowboys. 17% say the Amazon Thursday Night Football broadcast. Bucket with the winner says starring in a remake of King of Queens.
Yeah, I can't do any better than that. I don't have a better joke than that. Those the polls?
Those the polls.
All right, very good. That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow we're going to talk a whole hell of a lot about Harold Landry, players who are leaving the Tennessee Titans in 2022, and the players who they absolutely must re-sign. But in the meantime, Blaine and Mickey going to keep you entertained. Coming up next.